Hey, it's Mike Evans. People care about three things when buying a vehicle. Number one, price. Siltahar Motors has the best prices and financing options that fit everyone's current credit and financial situation. Get zero down and 0% financing for 72 months. Number two, selection. Siltahar's five dealers in one offering Ford, Lincoln, Mazda, Volvo, and Maserati with hundreds of new and used cars, trucks, and SUVs on the lot. And number three, location. Siltahar's right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth, or view their entire selection online at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors, get everything you want out of a dealership.
For the Nuggets, as they try to get Bol Bol, we talked about him. He's having his moment down there, finding an opportunity to play in the bubble. Normally going to be a center or a forward. He's been a small forward. As Michael Malone said, to see Bol out there playing and doing things people can't do is really remarkable. He's extremely talented and skilled. You cannot teach 7'2", and you cannot teach a 7'9" wingspan and the soft touch he has. He's getting stronger, healthier, and right now it's good to see him compete against the other players that we have down here. But the truth of the matter is, it's not everybody they'd hope to have. And we'll have an opportunity to talk to our Nuggets insider, Matt Moore, courtesy of Bud Light, in just a minute or so. Kyle, do we have him? Oh, terrific. Okay. Brought to you by... brought to you by Budweiser, the official beer of the Denver Nuggets. It is our Nuggets insider, Matt Moore. Matt, how are you doing?
Hanging in, man, hanging in there, trying to get through all this craziness and, you know, trying to temper excitement with realism with regards to what the NBA return is going to look like.
Yeah, and part of that realism, of course, is looking at the Nuggets' first scrimmage just about a week away and having about, half their players there?
Yeah, that sounds about right. So the Nuggets have been unable, until Jokic arrived, to actually play 5-on-5. That is not what they have been able to do. So they're now able to play 5-on-5, which I think is exciting for them. That's good. I think for basketball teams, they'll to play 5-on-5.
Wow.
NBA is 5-on-5. But look, it's dire, and it's a concern. And a lot of it is the front office isn't concerned. They're just like, well, they'll either be here or they'll not. And if they're not, we'll make the best of it. And that's all you can really do. The situation isn't ideal for anybody, but it's especially not ideal given what's going on with their roster, but they're hopeful to get people back, and we'll just have to kind of see. I have concerns about who's going to be around and who's going to be available for the Nuggets when play actually starts.
Matt, see, that's a huge concern for me, saying, well, we'll make the most out of it and not knowing which guys are going to be on the floor. But, you know, Bol Bol is definitely taking advantage of the fact that some of the guys are being missing from, you know, the starting five. Moving forward, do you see an opportunity that Bol Bol could actually see action in one or two of these games?
I mean, I think I definitely think he's going to get some time in the scrimmages. And if he looks good, I think there's a chance he works his way into the rotation, just because with guys being out this long, you know, you're going to want to try and be managing with their minutes. I think also in the reseeding play, you're going to want to be a little bit hesitant with regards to getting through this with no major injuries. You don't want to burn out Paul Millsap. You don't want to burn out Jeremy Grant, and you don't want to burn out Nikola Jokic, obviously. So there's opportunities, I think, there for Bol Bol to get some minutes. And look, the whole team has been high on him. He's exceptionally skilled. He's talked about as one of the best shooters on the team. He brings a lot to the table, and this is an opportunity in this environment, I think, to see what he can do. So I think it's a good opportunity for him in this environment, and I think they're going to give him a chance.
Even when he was healthy, Michael Porter Jr. was still having trouble getting on the court. And now they're at a point where Bol Bol hasn't even appeared in an NBA game, may end up making his appearances at this point of the season. That has to, at least in private, drive Michael Malone bonkers, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I think he's understanding of the situation. I think this is just one more, it's like, look, it is what it is. And he's missing a lot more than just Michael Porter Jr. Monte Morris isn't there. Gary Harris isn't there. Like, there's a lot of concerns, I think, with who's around and who's available for this. So I don't think he's necessarily frustrated with MPJ. I think it's more a matter of, at this point, they knew the situation when they left Denver. They knew that this was going to be tough, and they'll try and manage it the best way that they can. These are extreme circumstances, and everyone's trying to make the best of it.
Yeah, it's not necessarily an upset with Porter, but more the idea it's hard for Porter as a young guy to crack the rotation, and now you're going to have to put in a totally untested guy like Bol Bol. That's that's a challenge. When you look at the way this preseason goes, one of the things you talked about there a minute ago, Matt, was the idea that you want to avoid the injuries. The Rockets, James Harden talked about this this week, said flat out, because there is no home court advantage, he doesn't really care about seedings. He said, we'll just play who we play. Is that the way the Nuggets are approaching it as well?
Yeah, I think they really are just kind of, they're being really hesitant with making any sort of decisions. Like, I think in general, there's even more kind of confusion just in terms of like what they're going to, how they're going to be playing too. I asked Malone earlier this week, look, are you going to be playing more read and react because of the format that they're in? Because you're going to be short on guys and there's not going to be crowd noise and it's a weird situation. You're shorthanded and you guys have been off for so long. He's like, yeah, there's going to be fewer play calls. You're just going to have fewer play calls and it's going to be more about, you know, can we just play through basic reads and just kind of play basketball? And I think that they're actually pretty excited for that opportunity. And I think it'll do well for the Nuggets. I think that they'll actually do well in that environment. So it'll be interesting to see what happens as things kind of get started. But a lot of this, I think, is that until the playoffs start, the Nuggets are going to be very conservative with how they approach this. I don't get the sense that they're going into the seeding game being like, we really want to try and get the 2 seed, or we really want to try and move up, or we want to avoid dropping down. They're just more like, we just want to get through this.
With the Nuggets missing a couple of players and, you know, not knowing what that chemistry is going to be once they all get together, could we see, you know, Coach Malone go to somewhat of a smaller lineup? We know they tore it with it early in the season with Paul Millsap playing the center position. And if they were to go to that as a way to offset, you know, the chemistry not being there, do you think that they can use this as a strategy moving forward against more of the elite teams?
I think so, but I also think, like, look, the one thing they do have is they have bigs. Like, that's the one thing they do have. Millsap's there, Plumlee's there, Grant's there, Jokic is there now. So, like, you have four of those. You have those four guys that are ready to play, and you have Bol Bol that's ready to play as well. So, I think there's they are good on those. I think it's going to be hard, honestly, for them to play. Like, they're going to have to play big because they're missing guards. Like, that's who they're missing. I think, if anything, they're going to have to go the other way. And they're excited to kind of see what that looks like. But at the same time, like, that's what we don't know. Because we don't know the long-term availability of these guys, I think there's questions about what kind of team they're going to be just because we don't know who's going to be available and who's not.
The idea that this team obviously is not going to have very much of an idea of who will be available and who's not until basically the last moment. If they get healthy, how long will it take? How many practices do these guys need at least to feel comfortable that they can go out and play an NBA game?
I think, honestly, I think that they're ready to play at any sort of point. I think getting the body right to play well is a difference, and being in a position not to get injured is different. And those two things are big challenges for them that they're going to have to manage.
If this team were healthy, right, and I want to just kind of go off that premise, because I remember before the NBA went on this hiatus, the Nuggets looked like they were a pretty good playoff team. But everyone is healthy. Which team in the West seems to be the best matchup for them to advance in the next round?
For the first round, I tend to go with OKC. I don't think that they have the weaponry to get past Denver. I think Denver can just overwhelm them with offense. Everyone kind of points to Dallas as being, you know, inexperienced and, you know, a worse defense. By the end of the season, the Mavericks were 18th in defense. And the big problem is Rick Carlisle has figured out a lot of ways in order to mess with the Nuggets defensive scheme through the years. Even when they put two on ball, he's found counters. And when you have Luka Doncic and Kristaps Porzingis, that's dicey, especially with the kind of shooting that Dallas brings. Dallas led the league in three-pointers made. That's tough. I think for Denver, I honestly think they're okay versus Houston. I think without Capella, who did so much damage against them, you know, everyone points to James Harden, but they forget the fact that the Nuggets have had a lot of success versus Russell Westbrook, like a lot of success. And this team became more about Russell Westbrook as the season went on. So I think OKC or Houston are fine matchups for Denver. I think if it's Dallas, I get a little bit more nervous. And I think if it's Utah, I think they're probably okay as well. It's really just Dallas that I would actually be most concerned about facing in the first round unless they fall really far and something weird happens and they wind up in like a 3-6 versus the Clippers, which would obviously be the toughest.
What situation, obviously we're talking about the possibility that, and we're talking with Matt Moore, follow him on Twitter, HP Basketball. Matt, the idea of players, if Bobo plays, you know, let's say they get some of these guys healthy, who are the X factors for the Nuggets that maybe can step up and provide something that we didn't expect that could help them in this playoff run?
I like the addition of Troy Daniels a lot. I think Daniels is a veteran shooter that knows how to play. He knows how to work off ball. He's willing to shoot. He's a quality shooter. He's a guy I look at and say that, you know, maybe he's a guy that can sneak up and make some big plays if he's in the rotation. There are other guys I like on the team that probably won't get an opportunity. I think Kata Bates Diop is a really talented guy that can play multiple positions, but he's just probably not going to get very many minutes. So ultimately, I think, like, look, if you're looking for the X factor, it's MPJ. Like, it's been MPJ. It's going to be MPJ. Hopefully he's back for the playoffs. That would be nice. And back for the regular season, honestly. But if they're going to go anywhere, they need the firepower that Michael Porter Jr. brings. That's just the reality of it.
You know, Matt, when we look at, you know, a lot of players didn't want to go back and have the NBA restart because they figured that there were more social issues that were a little pressing than the game of basketball. I mean, Jeremy Grant came out the other day and in giving his response to the reporters and asking questions, he started to bring up Breonna Taylor. And you look at Will Barton, who's saying, well, listen, I'm not going to wear any kind of the sanctioned list names that the NBA has. The Nuggets organization embracing what their players are doing, how great is that for bridging the gap between what the upstairs administration thinks and what the players are doing on the court?
I think it's big. In part, I think Michael Malone has been at the front of this. Like, he has been very active and vocal about this being important for everyone, and important for him to take advantage of, and for him to be a part of, and to speak on these issues and to care about them. And a lot of this is like, that's growth, I think, for him from where he was in 2014. I think that there's a lot to parse through with these issues, and. Look, I asked Will Barton today, I said, what's the media's role in this? How can the media help provide this platform for you? And he said, look, man, it's not about, doesn't matter what we wear on the backs of our jerseys, and it doesn't matter what we, you know, what questions the media asks us. Those aren't going to affect the kind of change. It's going to take something greater than that. And that was true, I think. I think these things are good for showing that, for feeling like you're in an environment that supports you. I think it's good for being... for, you know, being at the forefront of standing on this issue and making a stand and being against police brutality, being for Black Lives Matter. But I also think that Will reflects the attitudes of some of the players there, which are like, look, we're here for a very specific purpose, and we're going to have to figure out, we have to figure this out, and then all the other issues are happening simultaneously, but we shouldn't engage in things that are just paltry or superficial. We should be trying to affect real change. And that's one of the reasons I really, really respect Jeremy Grant's position, focusing in on the Breonna Taylor case.
He is Matt Moore. As I mentioned, follow him on Twitter at HP Basketball. The Nuggets' first preseason game is Wednesday afternoon. It is that quick. Matt, we're looking forward to touching base with you next week, seeing how they look and who's there when the Nuggets finally get the ball going down in Orlando. Thanks for the time tonight.
Thanks for having me, guys. Take care.
All right. Thank you. Matt Moore, our Nuggets insider. And Nick, we had the same reaction looking at each other when you heard Matt say that until Nikola Jokic reported, they couldn't even practice 5-on-5 as the our famous animated friend Scooby-Doo used to say, ruh-roh.
That was definitely interesting. I'm just like, okay, if you can't practice a 5-on-5, how are you getting your work done? I mean, I know you can have one of your assistants, you know, work as a shield and watch Bobo or whomever else is there, you know, shoot over those guys and work on a couple of fundamentals. But you got to get in basketball shape. You got to get your basketball legs there. And the only way you do that is by playing, you know, a true 5-on-5. So listening to Matt, it just seemed as though this Nuggets team is definitely at a disadvantage, and this is going to hurt them, especially against other teams that they have all their players down in Orlando.
Yeah, that's concerning. Obviously, for the Nuggets, all the strategy, all the planning, all the matchups, all those come down the list. The first thing is to see if they can get healthy and get guys out there in Orlando, and then we'll see. Fortunately, they have three preseason games to get ready. They do not play a game that counts until August. That's a couple more weeks. We know that it's been a couple weeks with some of the players that are missing, Morris and Craig and Harrison Porter, and maybe they can get a few of those guys back, because otherwise they will have to do exactly what Matt was talking about, the idea of playing really big, just having big guys everywhere, like they were practicing with Bol Bol at the small forward. He's 7'2". I mean, you're talking about a front line of potentially, if you have to, of Jokic and Millsap and Bol Bol. I mean, that's, Jeremy Grant potentially in there. That's big guys. I mean, that's a big lineup. And while it might convey some advantages, there's also disadvantages there as well. This is going to be such an interesting restart for the NBA, given the guys that have dropped out, given the guys that have opted out, given the guys that are unavailable. I don't think we have any clue what's going to happen in this situation just yet. Nothing.
Well, here's what I always
I'm not sure.
Here's what I will always lean on at the end of the day, and I'm sure about this. I go with the team that has a decent starting five, and they have a decent bench. And we talked about it earlier, and that being the Clippers. I know everyone's talking about the Milwaukee Bucks, and they're a fine team, but I like what the Clippers have as far as the offensive players they have, and the defensive players they have as well.
And don't necessarily give up on the Nuggets just yet, because the one thing that they do have is depth. So if they can get at least enough players back that to compete, they might be able to make a little bit of noise, because depth is what they have best of.
Yeah, but you say the key word, enough players.
Enough.
Right?
Yeah.
They just got to
start practicing 5-on-5. That's not great.
No, it's not. You are behind the eight ball with everyone else, because you're just getting up to speed. And then when those all those other guys get back, what do their legs look like? How are their shots, right? You still don't know. There's a lot you have to learn. So I would love for the Nuggets to do damage in this restart, but it's not looking really great for them right now in the moment, Sean.
It is not. It is ending up really, really touchy. We'll take a look at the Denver Broncos, who depth is not a problem for them at the tight end position. The question is who stays and who goes. We have a pretty good idea, even this far ahead. We'll discuss it next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. People care about three things when buying a vehicle. Number one, price. Siltahar Motors has the best prices and financing options that fit everyone's current credit and financial situation. Get zero down and 0% financing for 72 months. Number two, selection. Siltahar's five dealers in one, offering Ford, Lincoln, Mazda, Volvo, and Maserati, with hundreds of new and used cars, trucks, and SUVs on the lot. And number three, location. Siltahar's right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth, or view their entire selection online at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors, get everything you want out of a dealership.